The best way to stop the new healer is to step on her ribbons. This is Core.
And welcome to Core. This is episode, 44 of Core. 44 of Core. Core 44, sure. You could say for sure. Hey, I'm not a bore. Let's find a store. There you go.
And then we'll serve up one more.
That was terrible. This is the show where we talk about Heroes of the Storm, and I want to dive right in with myself, Scott Johnson, Beau Schwartz, and John Jagger, and talk about character fantasy. You hear this a lot at Blizzard, especially lately from the WoW team. We're going back to the core fantasy of these characters. We want hunters and mages and everything to feel like what they are, not some homogenous, weirdly balanced sort of samesy group of characters. We want them to all feel like they come from a very special place. And one of the advantages, I think, and I think you guys would agree, that Heroes has over other MOBAs, especially after watching a bunch of other stuff over the weekend. I watched the International, or part of it. So some Dota 2 action. I watched some League of Legends play, which, by the way, is really boring. That's super boring to watch. No offense to people who love League. This isn't a comment on how much fun you're having in your game, but I'm telling you right now, that stuff is boring on screen compared to Dota even. I don't know what's up with that. But anyway, they're just so much more drawn out. Huge chunks of space in the middle. Boring, boring, boring. Anyway, doesn't matter. Point is, watched a bunch of that stuff. I watched Rocket League playoffs. I watched a bunch of Heroes playoffs in games, group games and stuff. And I came away with this one overriding feeling, especially after watching all of the MOBAs. And that is that finally there is a game that has the original fantasy that was supposed to be in this in the first place. It's not just Panda Man. It's Chen Stormstout. Or no, Chen. Is that his name? Yeah. Stormstout.
Yeah, Stormstout.
It's not just, hey, there's an orc with a hammer. It's not Hammer Orc Man. No, it's Thrall. It's actually Thrall with this hammer, the real hammer, the Doom Hammer, in fact. Like, we've been able to go back to the roots of where all these other MOBAs got their ideas and have all the original fantasy. And I think this game does a pretty good job of breaking that down. So let's talk about it. Bo, your thoughts on how Heroes handles fantasy of their characters, and are they doing right by us as players with said fantasy?
I'm going to answer. Okay, let's start with the presentation of the characters in the fantasy. Excellent.
Yeah. All right.
All the characters are characters somebody's emotionally attached to, if not you. And you can definitely get behind the fantasy of the character and what they're trying to accomplish with it. I think the engine is like probably the most polished out of all the MOBA engines in that top-down isometric view vein. So everything looks real nice. It's got that Blizzard touch on it. The sound is great in the game. So the VO and the sound effects of the heroes. I have like a small concern, but it's hard to pin because I don't know how much this affects the team, but I get a sense it does a little bit, that the kits that they have to give to heroes have to fit in lore-wise. Mm. And I say this where the other MOBAs are free to start from a mechanic perspective and build the fantasy in to the cool combinations it wants to do with the heroes. And, you know, I shared a video with you guys a few weeks back about that new League of Legends hero, Talia.
Oh, the one with the rolling, like, vine thing? Yep. Oh, yeah. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Thing. So, like, she's got, like, a rock surfboard where she can build a giant wall, Mei style. And she can also, while building the wall, surf across the map, all the way across. So let's say you wanted to do an analog-style ability in Heroes. Well, now you've got to find a character to fit it. You can't, there's very few instances where they build their own characters. And even if they do, they're still like Medic is still tied to the identity of Medic. And sometimes I feel like it feels like the abilities have to fit in somehow thematically with that. And I don't know if there's any instance of, we just want to do this on a character and it be so detached from a lore perspective. And I wonder creatively if that doesn't tie them up a little bit.
That's interesting. So in theory, they are restrained. In your estimation, they may be, not saying they are for sure, but they possibly are restrained by that design choice. And they, because they have the original characters, you can't make Jaina turn into a snake and eat people or whatever.
So think of it this way. Everyone wants Deckard Cain, right? Yeah. We all want Deckard Cain, except for me. And the reason is because everyone's like, his ultimate would be stay a while and listen. It's so funny. That sounds so boring. I want a giant icicle to fly out of the sky or I want something cool in the game and then, you know, make the design fit the cool things you want to put mechanically in the game, because that's the kind of player I am. I like the mechanics of the game. So when people say it'd be cool to have Deckard Cain because he'd make you stay a while, listen, and identify things, it all sounds very dull. Deckard Cain's cool. I love the character. He has a history. I have an emotional attachment to him. But it doesn't say, it doesn't make me excited to play him because I'll make people stay a while and listen. I don't know. Not selling me on that.
Okay. Actually, you know what? You're swaying me your direction. I wonder how much this does limit their ability to do anything. And if they can get maybe more out of, you can still stay within the lore, for example. Lunara is a good example of this. Yes, she's a named character in the game, but no one's really heard of her. You could have said, you know, here's a dear wood lady ninja from the Isle of whatever, and you probably killed a bunch of those mobs before, but you don't really know what they're capable of, and so they could have built her, and maybe they did, from mechanics first out to here's who she is and why she's in World of Warcraft. Maybe we'll get more of that. Like, Hammer's that way in a lot of ways. Hammer's still restricted also by the fact that that's a siege tank, and that's from StarCraft, and they could only do so much. But maybe they can, especially in the fantasy lore, maybe they can go a little crazy. If you just made a Diablo demon that was not Diablo, but like some other sort of demon in a different role, why not start from mechanics and then build to a character name? Do any of us care that much? Like, I don't think I care. It doesn't bother me that he's not necessarily a named character or some boss I beat once in Diablo. Like, I'd be fine with that. So, John, swing me the other way, or do you agree?
No, I completely disagree. I think that Blizzard has a wide enough stable of characters that, you know, we've heard in interviews with them where they have said, we want to do X, but we haven't landed on a good kit that works for that character. And so I don't think what we're seeing is, we want to do Deckard Cain. Let's build a kit that works for Deckard Cain. I think it's the other way around. I think it's, okay, we want to build a character that is, you know, very stun-oriented, that can do this, that can do this. Do we have any characters that can fit that role? And then I do think that they settle on maybe, okay, well, this character kind of falls into that role. Can we tweak the kit to match the character? So I think it happens, but I think it happens a step in. And so there could be some level of limitation, but I think when you look at a character like Lunara, I don't think they woke up one day and said, oh, we got to do Lunara. Mm. Like, I think they said, okay, here's a kit that we want to do. What can, you know, what kind of match is that? Or in the case of Lunara, you know, we want to do something similar to a Dryad. Mm. So I just don't feel like it's as limiting as maybe we're making it out to be. So, I mean, I kind of see where Bo's coming from, and I'd never really thought of it from that perspective, but I think I'm just going to be edgy and be like, no, I absolutely disagree, because he really just went hard against my boy Deckard Cain, and that's uncalled for.
I agree. I want Deckard as well. That's one point we agree on this. I mean, what if, okay, so Bo, I don't disagree with you in terms of mechanics may be a bit of a slave to sticking with the lore of these characters. That may very well be the case. To whatever degree, it's difficult to measure. But why couldn't they? Like, I've never seen Thrall split the earth, yell enough, and then stun everybody in any other format than this. I've never seen Zagara poop out those little bomb balls. What are they called?
The Banelings.
Banelings. I've never seen her do those. She doesn't do those in the game. In StarCraft, I should say. Certainly, they've expanded on what Abathur is capable of doing. Without leaving his core story and narrative behind, he's still this like weird evolution thing that's all, you know, involved with perfection and whatever and evolving things. But the way he's actually used in the battlefield, is taking a lot of creative license with that core story or fantasy. So maybe they're already doing it. And I'm playing devil's advocate on both sides of this to get you guys to talk about it. But so what do you say to that idea that they can do whatever they want?
To add clarity to my statements, it's not that I think that there's a problem with the heroes that they're releasing and that this is the cause of it. It's that I wonder about that when I see some of the heroes, to what extent are we, because we're getting to a point right now where we had a couple mages in the game and then now we had a whole slew of them.
Yeah.
Three back to back, in fact. And I got to be honest with you, they haven't been a resounding success, at least with me. Like, I haven't felt, it's not even a question of, oh, are they competitive or whatever. I don't really feel like, I feel like there's some dissonance in the way that they're created. They're either very specific or they're just not like, I'm not super stoked. I wasn't super stoked for Gul'dan. Like, I was from a lore perspective. I love the Gul'dan character. And then they release, and then it's kind of meh. Like, I find I'm very blasé on all the three mages now, post-release of all of them. Not super excited about them anymore. Still playing all the characters that I was playing previously. So, and yes, it's from a competitive perspective, perhaps. Mm-hmm. But I also don't feel excited about them. And so that's a feeling I have. Mm. And I wonder how much... Like, we have Gul'dan. We have to have Drake. Like, I wonder how much that stymies, say, an approach of just, we want to do this really cool set of abilities. I just wonder about it. I wonder how much constraint that causes. Because I know in a League of Legends hero, the lore is there, but it's just backdrop. They do what they want first. And from a mechanic standpoint, not that it always starts that way as a rule, but but they can look at what the game needs or what they'd like to offer and just build on the kit that they're developing.
And you said this about Tracer before, right? Like, Tracer came over basically the exact same as she is. Like, she is that character.
Yeah, Tracer's the example of, like very boring to me. Like, just because I played it a lot in Overwatch, and there's nothing that makes her special in Heroes, to be honest. Not that that's bad, and not that she isn't well done in Heroes, and not that there are people who can definitely like her. But I didn't find myself going like, yeah, Tracer's here. It's like, okay, we put a copy of Tracer in the game.
So, Bo, you're kind of hitting on more what I was kind of thinking for this particular topic, which is, and I want to swing it back to the positive, but you pointed out one that would have been, like, bar none, number one with a bullet on my list for what happened. On the negative side. So I'll start negative, but let's definitely swing it positive at some point, which was Gul'dan. I could not have been more excited for Gul'dan, and he hit, and he could not have made more of a dull thud when he hit. I don't really like the way he plays. I don't really like any of the stuff he can do. I don't think he's a particularly powerful character. He just made zero impact. And it's really hard to be excited about the character on a fantasy level and be like, oh, it's friggin' Gul'dan. And then it's just like he oozed out the chute and landed in front of you, and we've been real quick to push him under a rug. And I want to see a world where Gul'dan is more like Kael'thas. You know, you want to see Gul'dan be the guy that's getting banned from every game because he's friggin' Gul'dan. He's crazy, and he's fell, and he's on fire, and the fantasy is just hit so hard. Now, I don't think characters should be OP based on who they are. I think that is one area that's real difficult. I mean, you want to see Arthas and think, oh, he's the ultimate badass. But at the same time, he needs to be a balanced hero within this universe. At the same time, like, Gul'dan for me just didn't nail that fantasy at all. Mm. And so are there any characters for you guys that you think either really nailed that fantasy perfectly, maybe even in a way you didn't expect, or kind of like Gul'dan for me didn't?
Okay, so Jaina fits for me. I think she's fine for what she's supposed to be. She's not flashy or anything. She's also not much of a... She's not really a numbers lady at the end of the day. Like, she'll do some really clutch things in the game, but she never walks away with best hero damage or any of that. So number chasers and min-maxers don't love her for that reason, but I like her for lots of reasons. But I think if I'm to pick one where I really like that they nailed the fantasy, but also made it feel like I was playing something kind of new and weird, probably Nazebo. And this is maybe true of a few specialists, but Nazebo in his particular case is a character that I didn't particularly like playing much in Diablo anyway. He felt like just kind of a spam mess, like everything's just vomit and giant toads and disgusting spiders, and he's just constantly just farting all over the place. In this, he's got really interesting strategies that all sort of adhere to his core fantasy, but at the same time take him in places you're not used to him taking you. So for whatever reason, he's one that works for me, and one that I was not looking forward to, didn't care for coming into the game, and at this point think he's one of my favorites. So probably him. Bo, who do you think has been done well?
I think there are a lot that have been done well. I think in particular, and I've been playing a lot of them, so they just come to mind, but I think Sylvanas is a character who I'm not familiar with any abilities that they translated into this game with a really fun kit that seemed fresh. Nothing about it seemed like the art reflected Sylvanas, but nothing about it seemed like, well, we're putting Sylvanas in the game, so we have to have a wailing arrow that silences anybody.
Well, and it's gone the other way. They put Black Arrow in the Legion trailer.
Yeah. Yeah, which is kind of cool, right? Like, it went the other way this time. They took lore and they took fantasy from Heroes and put it in her Warcraft, which is a weird.
Sorry about that, Bo. You just reminded me of that, which I thought was super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, she has a unique identity all her own in Heroes. I would say, like, I've been playing a lot of Thrall. I think Thrall's pretty fun in Heroes too. Like, I think he is the war chief in that game. Enough, like, kids get to bed. That ultimate is like the best ultimate. Zagara is, I think, really well done too. You can feel like you're playing. Like, there's a lot of well done characters where my concern, like, is kind of overstated, but to a point, I think, because, we've talked about some of the. I've just seen some really cool stuff in other games, and that I feel like this came as this MOBA. Sorry, and this MOBA has a very specific focus. And I'm seeing it just feels like more lately I'm seeing the designs are, in my opinion, mechanically not that inspired lately, if I got to be honest. Mm. I think there's some cool ideas in there, but I don't think the kits are working very well. The different pieces in the kits are complementing each other as well as it would seem. Medivh seems kind of like a hodgepodge of like cool stuff. Mm. But the only thing that's really Medivh-y is, you know, bird form and taunting people in bird form. like I just like, yeah.
Do you
I'm
think
a bird, you can't hit me? I'm gonna poop on your head.
Do you think that there's a chance for them though to reverse that with some characters? Like Sylvanas is a great example. She already kind of came fairly unique to the game, like you described. I would agree with that. But they also went back and reworked her in a way that gave her an entirely new ultimate that also feels like a really cool homage to her, but it's also mechanically really fun and interesting in a game. Like, maybe they could do that with more characters. There could come a day, not that I would like them to release them half-baked and then fix them later, but like Gul'dan, I could see them reversing that a little bit, making him a little bit more all-powerful, a little less, and I don't mean OP, but just not just, well, I gotta tap my life to get some mana. You know, like Warlocks, wink, wink, Warcraft players, like they don't have to do that so much. And they've been willing to do some of these reworks in the past, so there's a good chance, right? Some of that stuff will get fixed.
Yeah. We've talked about this though on the show before too, though, where the more heroes they have, the greater they're adding to their complexity and number of voices that are disappointed X-Hero is not up to snuff. Like, I think that the rate at which they release Heroes is commendable, but also I think we'd be willing to wait a little longer. I've been starting to feel that way with the last slew of Heroes and not walking away. Like, sometimes a hero releases like Curl Gym and you walk away and you're like, I don't know. But then you come back to it and it's amazing. Mm-hmm. That hasn't happened to anybody that's been released lately since Chromie for me. And I'm starting to be a little concerned about that.
Bought his, just a side note, bought Karazim's Master Skin. So I caved and did
nice.
It.
Nice.
Yeah. I went.
That's a good skin.
So I went 10. Like it. Oh, it's the worst skin. But I bought it anyway because I believe in your particular philosophy of going into a game and showing off, you know, what you got. You're like, look, I've got him at level 14. He's long been 10. I bought his skin. That means I had the gold, the wherewithal, and the time spent with him that he's going to matter in a fight. Like, it is a way of kind of showing that you're there to show your metal, right? So I believe in that. Mm-hmm. And that's why I did it. So here's what I did. Here's my math today. $10 for Sweepy McGee there this morning, today. Ariel. Yeah. Paid. That's her new name, by the way, Sweepy McGee.
Sweeping okay. Gang.
Bought her $10, threw that down. It was that or 15K gold on her. And I just thought, you know what? I'm going to spend the 10 and I'll save my, I won't go to lunch next Wednesday or something. And then I'll just use my gold and get Karazim's dumb fists and stupid metal strap head thing. And I feel okay about it. So I took your advice. You should feel good that I did that, I guess, somehow in your heart.
I do. Blizzard's taking 10,000 gold from you. I'm happy about that.
I still have a little left. I may do something with it. It's an interesting topic. I would love to have some fans write in and tell us your thoughts on the current fantasy in the game and whether or not this shoehorns, or what's the word I'm constrains Blizzard more than it should. I can say this just watching the International without a ton of Dota 2 knowledge. I don't really know where that game is right now. I played a bunch, but never really was my thing. So what I'm watching makes little sense to me in terms of, you know, I know people are doing some cool stuff, but I don't know what they're called. I don't know what Q is for that guy. I don't know what that other dude's doing to res somebody or whatever. Like, it's all a little bit a mystery, but I can tell you that there was some real flashy stuff going on that was really fun to watch, like big boulders coming out of the sky, crazy full screen effects for certain like ultimates. Like, there was some stuff going down, and maybe it's because I play Heroes so much and I've seen it so many times that the flashier elements of Heroes have worn off on me, but it did feel a little bit like, wow, these guys are really gone flashy. And maybe that doesn't mean anything. Maybe it doesn't matter how you frost a cake. If the cake is mediocre, then who cares how the frosting is? But I saw that and just kind of went, oh man, I wish there were more like crazy, explosive, insane, multicolored, you know, nightmare ultimates being thrown in Heroes. And they just aren't quite like that.
Well, I don't know if it's intentional or not. I remember when Jaina came out, there was an element of me that was like, oh, this is it? Boy, because like you think mage and you think like big and amazing and over the top. And she gets this little icicle she fires. She looks like she shoots snow confetti out of the cane, and a little trickle of ice occasionally comes down from the sky. And I remember thinking, man, that just seems really, really weak. But I think it's there to avoid visual confusion, which sometimes you watch other MOBAs and you're just like, I don't know what's going on here. Mm-hmm. There's just too much. And I got over it as soon as I started using it in the game because I understood the impact it was having. Mm-hmm. When that little tiny icicle that seemed piddly and lame hit somebody and took off a quarter of their health and got the critical hit number to pop out of them, it didn't seem so piddly anymore. All of a sudden it felt cool. And I think that they deliberately maybe rein in some of their effects, and because they could go over the top. There's sure. No logistical reason why they couldn't. Mm-hmm. But I think it comes from a desire to have the gameplay be effectively communicated. And if you go over the top and then have all those ults going off at the same time, that suddenly becomes a very difficult game to play.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Maybe that's why the restraint, Bo. Like, maybe it's just meant to hone it in, gameplay first, all that.
Could be. It's easy to look at other games and take all the cool stuff that you don't have and envy it and forget about the cool stuff that you have that they don't. Yeah. Like mounting.
Yeah.
Good Lord. I don't that's the number one disincentive to, even if they were the most popular MOBAs, walking back to those lanes after a death timer is the worst.
Yeah, so, it was bad watching it, not just imagining it. Like watching it and I'm like, well, how are you doing that, man?
Well, 360 no scope Timothy is down in bot lane. He's headed to his spot from the fountain. We'll get back to him in 10 minutes. We'll just go to mid, see what's going on.
What did you call him? Like, no scope like Timothy? What was that?
360 no scope Timothy.
He's a good player. Yeah. He's my favorite.
He's playing the wrong game, though. His no scope skills do not come in handy in MOBAs. But
I freaking love that name. That's great. I'm changing my name in all the games, by the way. Anyway. Go ahead.
I'm not going to do it. I don't want to walk.
Okay.
So keep bringing us the mounts.
Keep giving us the mounts. Yeah. People should not mistake this conversation for, hey, we think they're doing it wrong. They very well may be doing it ultimately right, because the game is so much about these precision sort of mechanics in the game. But I'm going to agree with Bo that the last three or four Heroes have been just a little like, there's nothing crazy cool happening here exactly. I bought What's Her Name, but I haven't tried her yet in any kind of earnest. I haven't played her in a real game yet.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with him there. I will give, just to kind of round this out, because I realize all I did was be negative, and I want to feel like positive. So sure. I will give two that I really think they nailed the fantasy on. Both are from Diablo.
Okay.
And so the first one, I actually got playing the new season of Diablo this week. I had to go and fight Asmodan. And I walked in there, and I got hit by this, like, weird feeling, because they nailed the look so perfect, and then he's using all the moves that he uses in Heroes, and I just had this weird feeling while I was playing the game of, like, what's going on here? You're in the wrong game. What is this? And it was really disconcerting, but it made me realize, oh, they really nailed Asmodan, mm-hmm. because... fighting him in Diablo is a lot like fighting him in Heroes of the Storm.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is Diablo, where I'm speaking mostly from a pure fantasy standpoint. He is the Lord of Terror, and they've created a kit for him that intentionally makes you somewhat afraid to approach him. He can pull you out of position and knock you back and do some crazy powerful things to you. And it makes you very reluctant to want to run right up to the Lord of Terror. So it kind of, his kit adds to his fantasy, because whether or not you're actually afraid of Diablo or not, you still pay him this respect of, like, I'm going to maybe stay away from that guy because he can do some things.
Yeah.
And I think both of those really, really nailed it.
He doesn't ever, as far as I know in Diablo, he never picks you up and throws you over his shoulder, does he? That's not like a mechanic.
I don't think he did.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But you're right that contributes to his sort of bruiser, angry, watch out on the Lord of Terror kind of attitude. That's good. I agree with you on that one. Well, anyway, we'll see what they do. Jury's out on the new healer. We're going to talk about her in a minute. We don't know yet. It's too early. You can't say. I think she's really fun, but I have learned not to say that too much, because I also thought Chromie was super fun. I still think she's fun, but she's just not winning games. Let's talk about our core topic this week. Are we overvaluing the lane game? Talked about this a little bit with John during some games during the week. And there's definitely been a swing since the most recent patch before today. Or the patch that changed it so minions were a lot tougher against structures and so on. There's been a shift that you can pretty well see in most games, where if they're playing their lanes right, they can be very dominant, the other team. And you've got to watch out for that stuff. And you got to watch minions who are left alone. You got to watch for catapults. They're going to do real damage. Bo found that really interesting stat about, you know, first keep that goes down means you got like a 75% chance of losing or winning, depending on which side you're on. Like, a lot of that stuff came out of that patch, and people have been getting their heads around it. John, you've made the argument that we have swung too far in the lane direction, and that we're overvaluing that part of the game at this point, and that we don't actually need to. What's your argument? Because I'll say, before you say, there have been games where I'm like, when did we lose? And you realize, oh, it was because that lane. Like, it just feels like that's happening more and more. So my feeling is that change has been significant to the game, but you think maybe we've gone too far. When I say we, I mean the players in general, not just us three.
Yeah, and I expect to get a lot of flack for this, and that's okay. Maybe even from you too. We'll see how this all pans out. But let's start with the fact that numbers don't lie. And a 90% win rate to the team that gets first catapults is a big number. And that's a big stat you can't ignore, and you can't say, nah, that's fake. You're pretending. That's too big of a number to ignore. Mm. So understand that I'm not saying it's unimportant, but what I'm saying is that we have perhaps swung in such a far direction that now we have people that are throwing the match because they think it's more important. So what I mean by that is I had about four games recently that were basically lost because we got a specialist on the team who decided, nope, it's all about the lane game. That's all I need to worry about. That's all I need to do. I don't have to commit to anything else, because if I get that first keep, we win the game, which is fine, except that we then consistently lost every team fight we were in, and they presented themselves as a wonderful little gank target whenever the team was bored. And so what has happened is that because there's been this focus on just laning and, you know, getting away from team fighting, you're losing team fights, you're losing objectives, and then you're losing the lane game anyway. So when I say it's not as important, what I mean is that the focus should be still on team fighting and working with your team to get that lane game under control as a group. And I think that's where it's been falling apart recently, because all four matches where that happened, we lost. We got destroyed. Then we played another game recently on, I think it was Shrines, or the Immortals, where we had a Sylvanas down doing her own thing while everybody was trying to, you know, capture the shrine. And we lost the first Immortal that spawned, or Punisher that spawned. And we lost that and got pushed back. And I said, hey, look, lane game's cool and all, come help us. After that, the Sylvanas was in every capture fight, was helping, and we stomped them after that. It wasn't even close once that switch happened. And that was because we were wiping the team, and that freed us up to then focus on the lanes without being opposed, without losing the objectives at the same time. So that's what I mean when I say I think we're overvaluing it.
Do you think it's just, then is it, doesn't that just come down to, I don't know, some players are being stupid about it and have gone too far because they hear, oh, lanes are more important now, so they get to do their PvE thing and ignore team fights. But that's not really a, I don't know. It's like one of the, but do you think, go ahead, Bo. I want to hear
your take. It's a specialist meta. That doesn't mean it's a PvE meta. Mm-hmm. I think that's about as succinctly as you can put it. Like, John, I think is correct. Like, you have to apply, lane pressure just means you're clearing the lanes. Just control mid. You don't have to actually split push. Unless you're making some sort of calculated move, sometimes that comes up in team play. And it can be like there's five bot on their team and four of your guys are defending and you're alone top. So by all means, split push. But that's like, it's not a permanent philosophy. Mm. It's, you know, that you take your advantages where you can, but you will need to help the team. Like, it's, yeah, it's a specialist meta because lane clear is important, but not because PvE wins you the game. Generally, you know, the higher win rate team comps have at least one siege, if not two or more, because of the lane hygiene. But you still got to put people on timers and win objectives. That's all part of it. So if anyone's listening who's maybe taking it a little too far, then you're taking a little too far. Now, if this is in quick match, well, I don't know, like, people are going to do what they're going to do in quick match. I know I tried all kinds of weird things today as Oriole and didn't care about winning, even though the Illidan on our team really wanted to win. I was just saying to myself, sorry, buddy, we might win, but I didn't come here to win. So,
yeah. Okay. Well, so then it's just down to that. They hear this stuff and they go too far with it. I mean, that's what it sounds like, John. Do you agree? I mean, they're just, people are taking it too far, and they're doing it in randoms where we're trying to solo queue, or where we have a team where we have to fill out two positions with randos, and they're behaving poorly. Or you're seeing a team go up, you're going up against a team that is entirely made of lane clears, and they figured out some magic sauce to make everyone feel bad. And then the people on our team, be they us or the randos we're with, are now going to go, well, okay, fine, from now on, I'm just going to play specialists. Like, is the worry that the player base is screwing up in their heads what's going on, or is there something wrong with the game where that meta is too important to those players, if that makes sense? Like, does Blizzard need to do something here? Dial it back.
I mean, I think the 90% says Blizzard should probably maybe think about doing something, maybe. I think they need to give it more time. I think we need to see if that number comes down on its own, because I think it might be a little too early to say, nope, fix it. It's really imbalanced right now, because it is such a big switch. You got to give people time to adapt. I think part of that need to adapt is players learning that, like, just because you picked Zagara doesn't mean you get to be in the bottom lane all game. That's not your license to pretend you're Schmerich Van Skyschmok, and you don't have to be with everybody else during the game.
Not Schmired.
So it's still very important, but I also wanted to bring this up because, you know, I was really big on Sylvanas early in the game, very different meta at the time. That's also when I played Zagara. However, I happen to have it on good authority that one Mr. Bo Schwartz has been playing an awful lot of Sylvanas. And have you also been playing Zagara?
Both a ton, and they're great. I have a huge, I have a raging enthusiasm for Sylvanas and Zagara right now, both of them.
Well, tell me about your enthusiasm, and let's pretend you're talking to people who are saying, like, okay, what is your thoughts and your philosophy for pushing when you pick those characters? How do you balance it?
Well, to be clear, a lot of it had to do with, you know, coming into this realization that Specialist was important and seeing it lacking in my Hero League, you know, solo queue teams. And also experiencing some losses because I'm prioritizing Assassin. And maybe, you know, we did this talk a few weeks ago where I was picking more healers, more tanks, and more Specialists. Specialists is that middle ground where Sylvanas is an Assassin, but I get to do the lane hygiene. And everyone else can go be team fight Terry. And well, I guess it's two button Terry. We need a different T word. Scott, team fight Tobias.
Team fight Tobias. That's not bad.
Never nudes can go fight it out for as long as they want. And I know that I'm going to take 20 seconds and you know, clear that lane real quick and then join the fight. Like, I have a bit more discipline and mindfulness on the map strategy. And that was helping me win games, because a lot of games we'd even win a lot of team fights, but those lanes would be pushed in. We'd be first to lose a fort. Now we're 1-10 to win the game. And it definitely felt that way, because it's just so hard if you build a team fight team to push against an Asmodan or even an Abathur and then also do map objectives at the same time, which you've got to juggle simultaneously. So Zagara and Sylvanas are the best position to do it. I think Zul's pretty good too, but I don't play him very well, so I haven't been picking him, but he's also up there.
Mm.
Yeah, but Sylvanas is great. And as we said earlier, she's like a lore slam, or not a lore slam dunk, but like a kit slam dunk, a hero. She's fun to play. She feels like Sylvanas, a unique one. So
I feel like that. I feel like once again the answer to all of this is play as a team. And when by that I mean have four of your friends on with you playing, so that you're talking.
Possible.
Yeah, because what's happening? Just like, you know, we just had a great week of playoffs and crazy stuff leading to BlizzCon, and a million people now are like, oh, I'm gonna try that thing I saw the pro players do. And so every time that stuff happens, there becomes like this weird disconnect with randos, and maybe even we do it, I don't know, but it's part of the game. And the only time I seem to have maximum fun, and I'm not speaking for everybody, but maximum fun for me is a complete five stack with people I like. And then we're talking, and then we're saying, go do this and do that. Oh, you didn't do that. And we are both excited and disappointed at the same time in whatever's going on. And it's just the way to go. I know not everybody can do it. I feel for everybody who can't, including me. There are nights where we just freaking can't. Like, Bo's on this awesome rocket ride to the top of all-time ranked, and it means that he's often busy doing that stuff. And, man, you can feel it. There's a Bo-sized hole in our comp when we play without him. And it's so I understand. I get it, people. It's hard. But if you can, maximum fun. Maximum fun. If you can. What? I don't know what I'm saying.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're listening to this show and you can hear this, this advice isn't going to work for everyone. But if you can hear this, you know, we have our custom chat group. There are other shows with custom chat groups. You know, I know A-Move does it. And join them and see if you can find groups through there. Until they give us clan and, you know, group support in the game built in, this is kind of the best we got, but get in there, make acquaintances, and do play with people, because it is a vastly different game than if you have just been a solo queue warrior. It changes so much, and it's been kind of a double-edged sword because it's been so much fun. It kind of is the only way I want to play the game now, but you know, it's not always possible.
Yeah, we've talked about that a little bit too. In fact, I don't know if it needs much more talking, but it's like, if I get in and none of you are around, I'm not nearly as motivated to play as I would be, or as I would have been in the past. And I don't know what that is or what that says. It's probably more about me than anything else. Maybe John's feeling it a bit too. But the minute I see that one of you are available or one of our crew is around, I'm good. Two or more, I'm good. Let's go. Let's play. Just me? I'll go do some other thing. You know? That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
Let's give a quick shout out to some friends who are departing the Heroes of the Storm podcasting community. Many of you may have heard, Mick Montgomery and company are ending Stormcast. he got an amazing opportunity came up. It meant that some of the podcasts or some of the work he was doing on the side had to go by the wayside. We are sad as a community to see that stuff go, but wish Mick and crew the very best in all their future endeavors. Certainly, I can't imagine we won't see Mick and those guys in games a lot. And certainly in our future endeavors to do tournaments or charity matches or whatever, we would do our best to bring him back and have him part of the fold. But yeah. Anyway, best of luck to those
guys. And also give him a little shout out too. He was the primary force behind the Heroes Charity Brawl. He was definitely a flagstaff or center pole or what's the thing in the middle that holds stuff together?
Pillar. He was the pillar.
He was a pillar.
Okay.
Pillar's good. You said Flagstaff, and that's my home city. And I was like, what? Where are we right now? What's going on?
He was the Arizona of the Heroes podcast community. And so, no, just that, you know, and I got to, we even played some Hero League games together. Both John and I have swung by his fine program to do, to guest on somehow. And he's just been a really nice guy. And, as I do a podcast, so you might all be surprised to know that I listen to all of them as well. Mm-hmm. So this is also a loss to my podcast listening routine because it's all mostly Heroes related. And so it's a big hole in there. So yeah.
They were 3 years.
I wanted to just recognize them and say farewell and best of luck. And, and you know, just take a moment to say thank you.
I don't think it's a weird statement to say that the charity brawl may not have happened without him being involved.
No, literally,
he was not just the tent pole, the flagstaff, and the pillar. He was the primary motivator. Yeah, in Arizona. He was the primary motivator for most of it. And I remember a couple of times going, ugh, this is the, and then he'd go, no, I got it. He'd deal with it. He'd do it. And he'd realize, oh, this is important and kind of rad. And he's leading this. So we'll miss that influence. So thank you guys for doing what you did. Bo, how is the climb to the top going? I want a status report on your life.
Oh, man, it's good and it's hard. It's like, you know that when you've been working out in the sun all day and then you finally go home after like 12 hours of hard labor, mm-hmm. have a glass of lemonade and cool off. Mm. It's kind of like that, but without the lemonade.
All right.
But it's been super fun. So I hinted on the show that I wanted to get Kyle from Into the Nexus and his own duo Q&A show to play with me more, and he heard that and agreed to. And we've been playing a lot together, mm-hmm. and we've been streaming it live on Kyle Ferguson's Twitch stream, if you're into watching it. Mm-hmm. And it has been tough. Let me tell you, I got to Diamond 5, Diamond 4, and plateaued there, and just, you know, treading a lot of water. And I'll tell you, as you get higher and higher, having a good duo partner just increases your win rate a tremendous amount. I would not be where I am, which is right now a demotion match out of Diamond 2. But that's 1,000 points away from Master. I'm as close as I've gotten so far without, you know, his badass Tyrael. Now, you're speaking of characters, like when a championship happens, mm-hmm. all kinds of people bust out the strategies from mm-hmm. the championships.
Yeah,
all of them except Tyrael. Tyrael makes all the awesome plays in a championship. Not that many Tyrael's the next day in the Hero League or team. Like, he is amazing. We play together, and I think we both play really good, but he's the one that garners all the kudos from our teammates that we get matched up with. Like, oh my God, you're the best Tyrael ever. Yeah. And like, what about me? My Thrall was pretty good too, right, guys? They're like, no response. So it's been a real blessing playing with them, and it's been a lot of fun. And I want to get there. I got 2 weeks, so that's 2 weeks of no sleep till Brooklyn.
2 weeks. That's right.
Well, I know Scott and I both watched at least a little bit of it yesterday. Yeah. We both just happened to be in the chat. I started talking, and the next thing I know, Scott's talking. I was like, oh, I guess we're both here to support Bo on his climb to the top.
Totally.
But yeah, I mean, we sadly, Bo, only get to see what Kyle's doing. And I do have to agree, the stuff he's been pulling on Tyrael, I've been just like, I didn't know he could do that. So it's been pretty impressive.
I need to watch him more because I want to know how to play Tyrael. Like, we had one play in our game. It was totally Tyrael, Kyle's play of the game, not mine. I had like 10 HP on Thrall, and the enemy Falstad went to die at me. He had like 75% HP. Kyle happened to die on an unrelated adventure, and said, get to me. And then Falstead dove me, was about to auto me, and Tyrael blew up. And he gave me 50% of my life in shields. And I wrecked that Falstead so hard. He burned his barrel roll to get into me, so he couldn't get away. And I just went, hammer, hammer, thrall, hammer, arr!
Yeah.
And you know, it was super fun. And I would have died if it weren't for Kyle and his heads-up plays that he likes to make on Tyrael.
So. Do you feel like this level of play is like really exhausting? Because it sounds exhausting to me. And I don't just mean because you're playing long hours or whatever. I mean, like, every game sounds like you cannot let your guard down. You can't blink at the wrong time. You can't misclick. Like, you, if you want to stay up there and you want to graduate to the next tier, you have to be on point all the time. That sounds utterly exhausting.
You've got to, actually, a lot of what Kyle do without even of planning it is we mark cool enemy cooldowns. So if Falstead uses a barrel roll, I'll say barrel roll. Like, I'll just say he's used it, or, you know, certain alts will call out that they've used it, so that we know that there are opportunities there if Falstead gets out of position, but I called a barrel roll, he can't get away, and we can dive on him successfully. We don't just dive the Falstead. We're starting to mentally track what things are being burned in the middle of the team fights in order to sort of... Basically, it's whoever makes the first mistake. That we talked a bit about dancing. At that level, a lot of the patience with starting the fight is waiting for the enemy to make a mistake. And it can be so excruciating because you're anxious about making your own mistakes while you're doing it. So it's been fun, and it's been a learning experience. And so that thing about playing with friends, like, I'm a solo queue, what are they? Just rounder, grinder, like hammerhead shark. Like, what do you call the thing that just does the thing?
Oh,
help me. Drowning.
I'm
a solo queue grinder, you know, like the guy at the slot machine spends like 8 hours just playing slot machines or whatever. Like, I'll sit there and grind out Hero League games solo, and it's a world of difference in terms of fun for me playing with, I mean, Kyle in particular, because he's amazing, but honestly, I've had to play with Shmerik Shmanish Myshmok. We play with Mick some games. I don't know that we've played too much Hero League together, John, which I hope to remedy someday.
Yeah,
we did a little bit during my placements, yeah. And when I was doing the Morning Meltdown, we got a few games in, which was a lot of fun and a good time.
Hero League is way better. Even just duo. Even just, you don't have to have a full five team. Yeah. Some duo Hero League is way better than solo. So let me just throw that out there too.
John, are you in bronze still, Hero League?
No, I ranked silver too.
Damn it.
I haven't touched it. I think we can group though. I think you can be within one. Oh, what is it? One full level?
I thought you had rank? I thought you had to be in the same tier, but one of within four or five ranks within the tier or something. But maybe that is that.
I'm not 100% sure. I thought, like, if you were in gold, you can queue with plat, or you can queue with silver. It might be a five division spread. That's unconfirmed, because my understanding might have been incorrect, that it's just one of you have one color on the bottom side and one color on the top side, and you're the other color, and you can play with those three. But it could be tighter than that.
Yeah,
we can test that sometime, just see if we can queue up for it or not. Because I know we're not that far. I mean, you're bronze something, and I'm silver too. So
we should listening to Bo makes me excited, and I don't just mean sexually, like normal. I mean, like, this whole idea.
Oh, wow.
So all I'm saying is that sounds like a lot of fun, and we should be doing more of that because I don't want to play by myself. F that.
I agree.
What else is going on? We haven't even talked about Oreo. She's here. Everyone get hyped for Oreo. Two chocolate cookies with the white in the middle there.
I like putting Oreos in my ice cream.
She's great, although I've had no time to play a proper game with her. So has anyone played like a full-blown quick match or something with her?
I've had two quick matches with her just before the show.
How'd it go?
Pretty fun. I made a game last like 35 minutes and turned it into a win. But it's never a win when you make a game last 35 minutes.
When you say you made it do that, what do you mean?
Like, I kept resurrecting our teammates. Oh. And it was just like, they'd get a kill, start pushing in. I'm like, Kael'thas, rejoin us to the party. And he'd come back, and then they'd all be low because, you know, you get bloody, right? So it was actually doing, I just don't think I think there were a lot of like dirtily stuff going on in that match because they were allowing me to get a lot of reses off I shouldn't have been able to do. But and I also took the upgrade that makes the movement speed like 200%. It's silly. Mm. It's so silly. Mm. So I had a lot of, I guess I would say I'm having a lot of fun with her so far, but the one thing I hate is she suffers from Gul'danitis, is when you don't have any of that hope in your hope barrel.
Your hope chest, yeah.
Your hope, yeah, your chest of hope is empty. And you want to heal? Well, you can't.
Yeah,
and
well.
You're like, somebody hit something and nobody wants to hit anything, so nobody's getting any heals. And
that's a bummer, dude. That's a big
I'm
bummer.
Like, I hate being in this position. And when you press W to heal, you pretty much spend everything. It's not like you're spending it like mana, like 50 mana for here, and I'll put 50 mana on this heal. It's like you blow the whole hope chest of hope.
Yeah.
Or hope chest. So like that felt bad. I didn't care for that too much.
Yeah. It was
apart from that, she's pretty cool.
Yeah, she seems neat. How'd you feel about her, like her offensive moves? They all seem pretty fun.
Yeah, I felt like the sweeping strike looks amazing, but I was always too scared to be close to the people I wanted to hit with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like mostly using the chain away, get away with my chain. Mm. Detainment strike, perhaps.
Yeah.
To it's just like, peel, which that's a fun feeling ability and pretty effective.
It's like grenade for Morales a little bit. Feels nice.
Kinda. But it's more like a shoe. It's like you're literally shooing somebody away. Right? Yeah. Shoo, get out of here.
I thought you meant a shoe. Like it's like a shoe.
It's like, yeah, snapping a towel at somebody.
Yeah, it is like that. Yeah. Hey, I got a story about that. You guys want to hear a funny story?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. I got to, because it's off topic.
Yeah.
When I was in high school, I had these friends that were always whipping people's butts in the locker room with a wet towel.
Yeah.
And one kid one day had a really wet towel, and he went after some poor nerd kid who just didn't deserve this. And I walked around the corner right when it happened. I see this kid take this nerd towel, or take this towel to hit this nerd.
And this whipped nerd
him.
Towel.
He whipped him in the basically his butt and thigh so hard that it was awful. Imagine just watching normal skin just split.
Oh.
Yeah. So it just created this big, like, slice, like, oval-shaped slice.
Was this quote unquote nerd like naked?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They were just getting out of the shower or something.
Okay.
So they whipped him. This thing just went burp and opened right up. And inside, you could see like the meat in there. And like he was like super just real bad. Yeah.
I
just
feel
flayed
like
him.
This story should have had a warning. I thought this was going to a funny place. Well, and all of a sudden, we're the like body.
It's not, listen, it's not going anywhere funny necessarily, except. Those two guys. So this is this is what happened. The guy who whipped him and the guy who laughed when he did it, both not only got suspended for 3 weeks, one of them got moved to a different school. Anyway, real bad. They took a lot of heat for this, right? In now jump ahead a bunch of years, the nerd is a multimillionaire with his own company who had his butt split, probably still has stitches though. And those other two chuckleheads, one of them, and this doesn't get any more uplifting, but one of them died of an overdose, so got into drugs fell apart.
Scott.
And the other guy, the other guy is living under some viaduct somewhere. So my point is, don't
he's living in a what? A viaduct?
Under a viaduct, like a overpass, like a homeless dude under a freeway. Last
so
I
basically,
heard.
This guy who got whipped turned out to be Tyrell from Rooster Robot.
Basically. Yeah. Kinda, in a way. Spoilers. Anyway, so there's that.
Wow. The only time I ever whipped anybody with a towel, we liked to do it in our foods class. Yeah. My whole little pod of people liked to whip each other with towels, and we would always do it like during cleanup because that's when everybody had a towel, and we'd always do it while the teacher wasn't really paying attention, and it was all good humored, and nobody was getting ripped open or anything like that. Although there was one time where I got the most impressive towel snap that I've ever had in my life. And you have never heard a louder noise, and it was right as the entire class fell silent.
Ugh.
And we got caught, and everybody knew it was me because I think I turned the brightest shade of red when everybody turned to look and see what was going on. I probably turned the red of the nerd's inner thigh is how embarrassing.
It's a good way to put it, yeah. Well,
I have a question.
But it was good, clean fun, Scott. Oh, nobody got cut. Ripped open.
Just a question. And have you talked to this millionaire since?
Not for a while, but I saw him or talked to him on Facebook a few years ago. Super nice guy.
I wonder if his only regret is that he didn't pay to have somebody, you know, attack him with a towel back before he died of an overdose, right? Like, it's just like, this is my only regret, that it took me, it was too slow to get rich.
He didn't, yeah, so that he could get revenge. He could have paid some no-name hitman to go out there with a towel, a wet towel, and give that guy what for. But there's still the one homeless guy. My point is karma, man. Stuff comes back at you. That's all.
They got hit by the big towel of life.
Yep. He did really
so
well.
Mean. Why am I laughing?
I don't know.
Terrible.
That's why I listen to
Everything about the story is terrible, but I find it hilarious.
I grinned through the whole thing, but here I am telling this awful story. All right, so let me play it. Now we're back. Oh, wrong one. Sorry. Not the fart one. All right, where the hell were we? I don't even know. Oh, Ariel. Yeah, so she's cool. She's. We'll see. More time is needed, as always, with these characters. There is no splash screen Easter egg. I noticed this as well, and there wasn't for Gul'dan either. What the hell is going on? No Easter eggs on the screens? You can't set us up like this, Blizzard, and then yank it away, right?
The Easter egg guy, who does the Easter eggs has to take vacation sometime.
I guess.
This is the only downtime. Like, it's summer. He needs a few weeks off, or a few months, I guess. It's been, like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
If you're this gonna, is, like, the dumbest thing that I'm legitimately really sad about. Like, it's that thing where, just for what it is, there's no rational reason for me to be as sad about it as I am, but I like clicked around on everything. I'm like, nothing's happening. And then I Googled it, and on Reddit, sure enough, Blizzard confirmed. And they're like, yeah, we're not always going to do an Easter egg. And I just, they could have told me my dog died. I was just like, no, this is important to me.
Hang on though. Let's review that term Easter egg. All right, the Easter eggs are found out within about 30 minutes of the damn client launching. That's not an Easter egg. That's just a thing in the game. An Easter egg is like, hey, did you know Lord of the Rings actually has some naked wieners in the forest if you use a magnifying glass in the bottom right of the thing? Easter egg. It's a penis egg. And, you know, so like an Easter egg, if people are finding the Easter eggs in 30 minutes, not an Easter egg. So I'm sort of on board with the whole forget about the Easter
well,
egg.
Well, having, listen, if the choice is, okay, so part of me wonders, is this a trade? Are they saying, sorry, no more Easter eggs. Instead, we're putting some focus back on these intro videos. Fine trade. I'm good. That's great. Yep. But if you're telling me you're just, we don't want to do it anymore, well then.
I'm just sad for the Easter egg guy. They probably had to let him go, and now he's living under the viaduct.
There you have it. All right. What am I doing now? Oh, yeah. Let's do this. Let's talk about the patch notes. Other stuff happened, too. And some of these stealthy things came in. Like, Zagara got nailed for some stuff we weren't aware of pre-patch. What else happens? Who knows what happened in the patch?
Well, we covered a lot of it last week. There's two ninja changes. Well, not ninja changes, but changes, variations from what we discussed, which is Kerrigan had her Maelstrom damage tuned down a tiny bit. And Psionic Pulse at level 4, which is the Burning Rage type talent she has, also got tuned down damage. Very tiny, but with Kerrigan being the top win, or one of the top win rate heroes, again, they're sort of touching here and there, a little nerf. So pay attention, all you Kerrigan players. At some point, that pendulum's going to swing and Kerrigan's going to be unplayable again. They're looking for it hard. The other changes were to Zagara, the Queen of the Zerg Swarm. Yeah. Swarm? Not the Queen of Blades, but she's a Swarm Queen.
Shitting out them Banelings, son.
Yep. And being a gangsta.
That's right.
So Nidus Network reduces basic... there's cooldown reduction associated with basic attacks if you take Nidus Network, and they've nerfed that somewhat. And her big talents infest on level 1, which gives your ranged minions that are near you plus 1% damage for every 1,000 siege damage you've done has been nerfed from 150% to 100% bonus. So that's actually pretty huge because Infest is a popular pick. Same with the Bile Drop, which, you know, if you can stack, it's a questing talent where you can stack damage if you keep hitting people consistently with the Infested Drop. The amount gained, it's going to take you longer to get max stacks, twice as long. So there's a lot of little tweaks here where they're recognized that Zagara is outperforming a lot of other heroes, and they are looking at her. And so these are already some pretty big nerfs coming her way, I think.
All right.
We'll see if they do what they're intended. Other than that, same old stuff from last week. So
go back and listen. Yeah, if you didn't hear it before, go back and listen, you chuckleheads. Let's do some emails here. I got an email that came to us at core@heroesforyou.com. You can also leave voicemails at 801-471- 0462. This one comes from somebody named Yerp, because I didn't get their real name. I don't know where the real name is. So we're going to say it's Yerp.
I was going to say, that's a very Scott name.
Yeah, it's very Scott, but it says
Yerp. Turns out there was a reason.
It says this, Corehounds, how important is FPS / ping to my performance? If so, what would be an acceptable range for my FPS / ping? My current quality settings are in the dumpster as to maximize performance, but I would like to slowly increase some settings so stuff will, you know, look cooler. Yerp. He also says on a side note, love the show and really love you guys. I am not only am I encouraged, but I learn volumes about my play. All right. So Bo recently had a video card change, but prior to it had things turned off like, you know, physics, and so did Eric before he got his new Mac and stuff. At what point, I mean, I don't know what the acceptable range is. Like, I feel like the game itself has been a little sluggish in the past. I think it's real good right now. Like, they've really optimized things lately in that engine, so it feels pretty good. But John, you were having weird issues the other day. By the way, did that go away? Are you still having that problem? Do you know?
I don't know. I was having that problem all night while we were playing. I'm thinking of doing a completely fresh install because that helped it last time. Because for me, and I guess this is my answer to your question, performance is key. Like, when you start getting to the higher level of play, not even super high level, because even I'm not there, but when you start wanting to really be effective in combat, you need to be able to see and respond to things very, very quickly. And if you're not getting a steady, dependable frame rate, you know, that affects your skill shots, that affects your ability to respond to what people are doing. It's very important to me. But that said, that may not be super important to you. So there is a level of, like, what level of importance do you place on it? Just understand that it is probably going to at least impact your performance a little. And, you know, your teammates and where you rank and how well you play might all be associated to that as well.
So Bo is a guy who's clawing his way to the top of the heap. Do you turn anything down just to be safe? Do you do any of that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I've got to be able to consistently hit no lower than 40 frames. Mm. Anything lower than 40 frames affects my reaction time. Mm. So, you know, turn everything up to max, and it's going to take a little few, you know, quick match games to cue things. It's why I haven't been streaming. Like, I don't stream a lot to begin with, but the streaming on my system does tax it by about 10 frames. It can push it from 40 to 30. And then I'm not having as good a time. So it's been a bit disincentivizing for me to do streaming stuff. That's why I like when other people stream. Mm. Generally, your FPS, I think, should be at least 40 at minimum. Yeah. And yes, it's not always your system. They're optimizing the game. Sometimes that's why you've got to actually turn things lower than your system you think can handle, because you want to hit that benchmark for frame rate. Mm-hmm.
They're still
paying you. You want 150 or lower. I don't think you want to go any higher than 150.
They're still massaging this, what used to be StarCraft II engine, and it shows sometimes. And it's better than it's ever been, but, you know, there's still some hiccups and issues. And John may be experiencing some of that right now. I will say this about ping, though. So outside of, like, how to improve your frame rate, ping is a different issue. That's more about your ISP. It's also about what region you're in. A lot of factors there. But I would say where you want to be numbers wise is anywhere between 10 and 40 as a good range to be in. And your chances are you're going to fluctuate in that space anyway. Nothing more than 100 ping. If you're in that territory, you've got a very slow connection, bad ISP or something that's going to cause you problems big time. So try to stay under that if you can. You're almost in dial-up territory when you get up that high. So I'd say somewhere between 0 and 40 if you can.
And not to be all over the place, but a little pro tip too on the especially depending on where your system sits for the frame rate issue, actually minimizing your sound channels can have a dramatic it's all system dependent, so it's not going to work for everyone. Right. But generally speaking, I can get a frame rate boost actually from lowering the number of sound channels in the audio option from, say, 128 to 32. Mm. So it's not always the obvious turn off gore or turn off cool laser lights. Like, the things that have dramatic effects on your frame rate can be that. And also, I think, like, smart cursor. I don't know if Heroes has it, but sometimes turning off mouse enhancing performance options can increase your frame rate. I want to say drugs the whole time. I don't know why. Performance enhancing mouse drugs.
Yeah, those are the best kind. Very illegal, hard to get, but get them. All right. Well, that's it seems like good advice all around. And John, you'll have to report back on your thing. Yours is weird. That's like a weird thing.
Yeah, I got to look into it. I basically what I'm running into is when I'm playing every now and then, or not even now and then, it's pretty frequent. If I'm moving or you know, getting around the map, it's like all of a sudden everything graphically locks for just like a fraction of a second. Like it's almost unnoticeable, but it just hiccups suddenly. And it's just a really strange thing that happened to me once before. I ended up doing a reinstall for other reasons, and then it was gone, and there was no problem after that, and now it's suddenly back. So I have no idea what's causing it, but it's driving me crazy, as people could hear who played with me that night, because it will sometimes reset my position on my cursor and make me miss skill shots and stuff like that.
That was a super bummer for you, but also it just sort of, we were already having kind of rough games anyway, and it sucks to be that guy. So yeah, good luck there, Yerp, we're going to call you. And may Britain never leave the Yerp Union. All right, that's it for that. Oh, nice compliment also. Thank you for that. Hey, Rally Point 2 or 3 episodes are out. I believe 3 hit today. I better check. That may be tomorrow.
It did.
Did it hit today? Okay, cool. We're very happy with where that thing is. And after a lot of esports over the weekend, and by the way, dude, Rocket League, holy shit, I'm back in, dude. That game is insane to watch. And they had incredible numbers. And unfortunately, it killed Arrow's numbers for all that tournament play. So if you want to see, go watch those VODs. You want to see some insane, like, last-minute overtime ball-juggling bullshit. It was great. And
I'm always down for some ball-juggling bullshit.
Yeah, hats off to those guys. They're killing it with that game. It was really fun to watch. Anyway, we go into that in depth. We talk a lot about what happened for Heroes on the ESL. And also, we got some upcoming interviews that are specifically Heroes related, so you guys might be interested in that. I also have a brand new place for you to go. It is at rallypoint.gg for that show. That's cool, right? Oh, GG at the end? Yeah see? Yeah, we should get
that. That's the new thing is GG in esports or competitive gaming. Yeah. You guys have hang-ups about the term esports.
That's true. We struggle with it.
See, I've been listening.
Yeah, I know. I can always tell. I'm always afraid I'm going to slip something about Bo because I know he's out there hearing it, and I got to be careful when I talk about his third nipple. But anyway, the point is, the GG is cool. I think we should get core.gg if we can. I don't know how to look. I guess the internet lets me look, doesn't it?
I don't know how to look.
Let's see. Core.gg.
How do you buy domains?
Oh, it's a thing.
I'd laugh if a bunch of people accidentally signed up for the U.S. military because it looks like rallypoint.com is a military thing.
It is.
Pretty funny.
that's why rallypoint.gg is good.
And people there are quoting Trump and George Bush, I think.
By the way, core.gg is host League of Legends events. Organize less, play more. So, damn it. How about the core.gg? Nope, the core.gg is available. And coreshow.gg. Also available.
Well, hey.
Maybe not now that we've said it.
Hey, is uninstall.gg available?
Oh, my God. We need that.
We need to buy that and then give it to somebody.
It's just usually the other way, though. It's usually gg uninstall, but you're saying it would work as uninstall.gg?
Uninstall.gg. I wonder
if you type in uninstall.gg, if it shuts down the internet completely.
Oh, my gosh. Please tell me uninstall.gg. Right,
I'm pushing the button. I'm probably going to get hacked by Mr. Robot.
You've been hacked. Oh, no. All right. There you go, everybody. Thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for being here live. All you guys here and at home, you make the world turn. So thank you for being here and being a part of this. We are at heroesforyou.com. The show is simulcast on Alpha Geek Radio audio as well. So big thanks to everybody listening via those guys at alphageekradio.com. Join us in the game /joinfrogpants in Heroes of the Storm and play with us once in a while. core@heroesforyou.com is our email address. Once again, leave us voicemails at 801-471-0462. On Twitter, Core Heroes, John_Jagger, Scott Johnson, and Bo Schwartz. That twill do it for us. Thank you all for being here, and we'll see you next week. show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Bam, 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 bam.